Welcome back to the Nerdcast Podcast. This is Jay, and this week we have part two of our summer movie preview. We got, I think, through Spider-Man last week, so we go the rest of the summer and then look at some of the fall and winter stuff coming out, too. Let's move on. The following weekend, War for the Planet of the Apes.
God, yes. I love the preview for the movie. I love the first two in this new trilogy. I love those two movies. And this one looks just as good, if not better, than those two. So it looks awesome. Yep. Definitely would get my
money. Each installment's gotten better. And you can tell shit's about to hit the fan in this third one, like for real.
And to be honest with you, I think I like Dawn better than the last one. Because what's the name of the second one? I can't remember the name of it.
Pulling it up.
Oh shit! What, the third one's called War, right?
Yeah,
Is
it Rise? Rise of the Planet.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, I like Dawn better than Rise, but I still like Rise. Rise is a really good movie still.
I
can't wait for this movie.
I never saw Rise. We went straight to Dawn. So I know.
Dawn's the first one.
No.
Dawn's the first one.
No. Rise is the first one.
Rise is the first one.
That's 2011.
Oh, then I got
the one with Franco?
Yeah.
Whichever one has Franco in it, I like that one better. I like the Franco one better than the sequel.
Rise is the first one.
Okay, my bad. I had it mixed up.
We never saw Rise. We saw Dawn. Which we liked, and we always said we wanted to go back and watch Rise, and we never did. So we'll probably end up seeing that.
You got to see that one.
We'll probably end up going back, seeing that, and then going into War.
Yeah. Well, you should rewatch the first two in order. And this one.
That's probably what
we'll do. It looks so cool. When you see them on horseback, and then you see, you know, they're lined up in the woods with bows and arrows, that just looks so cool. Yeah. It looks really cool.
All right, so then after that would be Dunkirk.
It would get my money. I doubt I'll get there to see it in the theater. I want to see it in the theater. I just don't think I will. And the whole time, all I'll be thinking about is that extra that fucked up that one scene. That's all I'll be doing. And that's the only thing I'll be looking out for, is that extra laughing during World War II.
Yeah.
Because World War II is hilarious. It's almost as funny as American Sniper, Jay. That's how funny it is.
That was toner. That was all
like,
toner.
I'm not anti-war movie, but it's just like, because Nolan's doing it, I'm obviously curious, but I'm not going to go to the theater for that one. Mm-hmm. I do want to check it out, though, because Nolan rarely disappoints.
Because if you ask Jay, Saving Private Ryan and American Sniper are two of the funniest comedies of all time.
I never said American Sniper. That was toner. I said I laughed at Saving Private Ryan when the guy picked up his arm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't laugh at either one of those movies. They're not funny at all.
This will be probably be one of the non-comic book or kid movies I'll see in the theater this summer.
Yeah. See, there's lots of good stuff that I want to see. It's just, I always have intentions of seeing them. I just never, like, okay, for example, John Wick 2. I wanted to see that in the theater so bad. So bad. Just never got around to it. Couldn't find time to go see it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's that or Logan. So instantly Logan wins.
Yeah. So you gotta choose your battles. And that's why I'm saying Dunkirk. Yes, I would see it in the theater. But if I had, like, okay, Dunkirk or Spider-Man, obviously I'm going to go see Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. So.
All right. So then the next one is July 28th, The Dark Tower.
And
I will be there opening weekend.
Because you like the books, right?
Right.
See, me, I tried reading the first book. It just didn't catch my attention. And what sucks is I'm now understanding, I guess, Stephen King from the very get-go has created a universe in his books where they're all interconnected somehow.
Yes.
And I guess this plays into that somehow, and I don't understand how.
Oh, it's amazing when you sit there and look at what he ended up doing, where every single one of these books seems like it's something different. And then all of a sudden, it's all tied together with this series.
See, and I still don't think this should be a movie. I still think they should have done this as an HBO show and really dive deep and take your time with it.
Yeah, and it would have to be something like Game of Thrones that goes on for seasons and seasons.
Yeah.
And that was something that was something they talked about originally when Ron Howard was going to do it, and it was going to be a movie and then a mini series and then capped off with another movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because they still haven't even put out a trailer for this yet, right?
No, I haven't seen any trailers, and pictures are starting to slowly come out. They have Idris Elba as the lead character, which kind of rubs some people the wrong way at first, the traditionalist. But
is he the gunslinger?
He's the gunslinger.
He's the hero of the story, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't know. I think the book, I couldn't get into it, so hopefully maybe the movie, it'll help me enjoy it more. Because if I'm not into the book, it's kind of, if a book doesn't catch me right away, I kind of just let them go. I don't try to finish them because, you know, who's got time?
Yeah.
But hopefully the movie's good enough to where it gets me interested into the story again. It almost makes me feel like, because I know that, J.J. Abrams is going to be doing a TV show with Stephen King that's called, like, Castle Rock or something like that, I think.
Castle Rock.
And it's supposed to, yeah, I think it's supposed to do what Dark Tower was supposed to do as far as a TV show goes, and show you how all of his books interconnect. And it kind of makes me want to go back and reread all his books, but his books are so long, and he has so many, I don't think I'll ever be able to get back and actually get to reading them all.
Yeah. See, the first time I read The Gunslinger, I didn't make it through. And so I went back and I reread it, and I got through it. It wasn't the worst of the series, but once you get through it, it picks up and you just get sucked in.
Okay. So maybe I'll have to give it another shot. I don't know. Because is it futuristic or is it present day? Or is it supposed to be in the past?
Well, when he wrote the original book, The Gunslinger, it was his version of, like, Lord of the Rings meets spaghetti westerns.
Okay.
So there's...
But I think I remember, wasn't there a scene where he was on an airplane or something like that?
No, not him.
No?
No.
Okay. See, I don't remember. Maybe I'm getting confused with another book I read. I don't remember. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if it has a lot. Does it have a huge fan following?
Yes, it's pretty big. And if you liked Salem Lot and The Stand, it ties into those heavily.
I love Salem's Lot. Salem's Lot's my shit, man. I love Salem's Lot. That's some good stuff right there.
And Father Callahan's big in the story.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that.
So, okay. And then the next one comes out the same weekend as Atomic Blonde. I haven't seen anything for this, but I've heard it's supposed to be really cool. It's got Charlize Theron in it.
I know nothing about it.
James McAvoy.
I haven't seen the trailer yet. They were comparing, like, they were calling like a female John Wick. Like, he just goes off.
Really?
So,
cuz you know yeah, how big a fan I am of John Wick, so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, apparently, like, the action in the trailer was just like the way she was just taking people out, it was, they were comparing it to John Wick, so I was like, oh shit. I still haven't seen the trailer yet, but I need to do that. see what all the hype is.
I was figuring Tony was hoping it was a Jenna Jameson biopic of some kind.
All right.
Yeah, I would have gone to the theater for that.
He'd go to that the 4D theater.
Yeah.
All right. So this is based on an Oni Press graphic novel. It says an undercover MI6 agent is sent to Berlin during the Cold War to investigate a murder of a fellow agent and recovers a missing list of double agents. So Charlize Theron's the main character, apparently.
If there's lots of headshots like there were in John Wick, then okay. But otherwise, I don't think I'll get to the theater to see anything like that. That's Amazon Prime kind of thing or Netflix, whatever.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking on it, too. All right, the weekend after that, The Emoji Movie.
Is everything that's wrong with the film business.
Exactly.
Nope.
Yep. Like, nope, no thanks.
And I know once previews come out, my oldest daughter's going to see it and want to go because she loves emojis, and I'm going to be the bad parent, and I'm going to tell her no. Maybe when it comes out on Ed Redbox.
Yeah,
I'm offended.
How could you make a story out of any of that?
You know what?
They're gonna make some stupid joke about the poop emoji, which is dumb as itself. But I mean, come on, it's just dumb.
They also made an Angry Bird movie though, and Battleship, and that yeah. they can well, find actually, a way to make.
Like, my kids like the Angry Bird movie. They said that they liked it. I didn't watch it.
But see, it was the same thing. I wasn't going to take them to see it. I think they've watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But they can somehow find a way to make anything into a movie these days.
Yeah, no, you're right. I know they can. It's not a matter of they can, Jay. It's a matter of should they. That's the other part.
And no.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
All right. And then everything after that's not summer movie, but I can run through a few of them. Like the first one in September I found was It.
And you know I am down with that one. The book.
That already looks creepy.
I've read the book twice. I love the book. I love the miniseries. And it's going to be sad that Tim Curry is not going to be Pennywise because, God damn it, that thing was so scary back in the day. We were young when that thing first came out, but that scared the shit out of me. So I love the story. I love the miniseries. The new iteration of Pennywise looks retarded, though. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. I don't like it, but I don't care. I'm still going to go see it.
Yeah. It's probably something to
wait for. It's a part one, right? I don't think they can make the whole. There's no way you can tell that whole story in one movie, unless it's going to be a 4-hour movie.
As far as I know, it's just one movie.
It can't be a standalone. There's no way. No way possible. That story is way too long, and you'd be cutting out so much shit, it would just make it horrible. I hope they don't make that mistake.
No, it doesn't say.
Well, they'll probably leave it open, I'd imagine. Maybe they put enough in there and
the story is built as it's already a two-part story because the very first part is when they're kids. The second part is when you come back as adults. So it's already built into itself to be a two-part movie. So that's why it doesn't make sense to me that it just be one movie unless you have two separate casts where you have your kid cast and your adult cast all in one thing, which I don't know. Maybe they are doing it. I don't know.
And that's why it made
sense. Yes, I would pay money to go see it.
That's why it made sense as a miniseries back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right, next one after that, Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
I love the first one. First one's really good.
The first movie is so...
But there's no sequel comic book to base it off of, correct?
Right.
They didn't do a sequel to it, so what's... it's going to be brand new, so did Millar write a script of it at all, or who's came up with the story?
Let me pull that up. I know that anything he writes gets optioned for a movie before it even comes out.
Yeah.
So it's quite possible he's got this lined up. Screenwriting, Jane Goldman and Matthew Vaughn. So it doesn't look like Millar or Dave Gibbons had anything to do with it.
Is Vaughn directing it as well?
Yes, he is. And he directed the first one. The first one was such mindless, fun violence. It was amazing.
Yeah, I liked it.
And so I'm glad that they're doing another one.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. Yeah. I'm done with it. But I doubt I see it in the theater. Not that I wouldn't. I just know that I probably won't get to go see it.
Yeah, I like the first one, so I'll check out the second one. I'll rent it. I don't think I'll make it to the theater, but I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. And then Flatliners comes out the same weekend.
Now, is this a remake?
What's it called?
Flatliners.
Is it the remake of the movie?
Yes, I believe so.
It's a remake. Is Michael Bay involved?
Alone, man.
Is this one of those Michael Bay remakes where he did, Friday the 13th, and I think he was involved with the Nightmare on Elm Street remake? Is this one of those kind of things?
No,
he's not involved.
Okay. No, it's just a straight remake. No Michael Bay or anything like that.
The Kevin Bacon one that was 80s or 90s.
That was
I like that one.
I think it was
that's a great movie. Yes.
80s,
yeah,
late 80s, early 90s.
I consider that an 80s horror classic. I hold that movie in high regards. It was awesome.
1990.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Kevin Bacon.
1990.
One of the Baldwins in it.
Oh, and I remember was Oliver Platt. Don't leave him out. He was really good in that movie.
Was great. Oh, he cracked me the fuck up. He's hilarious.
Really funny in that movie. So
William Baldwin.
Yeah, that's one as soon as it hits TV in some fashion, I'd watch it that way.
It's got Diego Luna in it. That's probably the biggest name. Ellen Page.
Diego who?
Diego Luna. He's a Poe, isn't he?
Who's he?
Poe from Star Wars. Oh no, he was Cassian from Rogue One.
Oh okay. I got you.
Okay.
Because Poe, I was like, no, Poe is Oscar Isaac.
That's right.
No.
Ellen Page is in it. Kiefer Sutherland's in it.
No, he's not. That's awesome. All right, cool. I'm down.
Kiefer
with that.
Is.
Yeah. Nelson.
Oh fuck yeah. Okay, good.
I wonder if this is kind of like a soft reboot. Yeah, because he plays the same character. Nelson.
Hmm. Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Huh. All right.
That might move up the list a little bit.
There's no trailer or anything like that.
Not
yet.
No.
Right?
No, that's into September.
Shit, I didn't even know. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that it was coming out.
So, next one after that I have is Blade Runner 2049.
Don't care.
I love the original, but I'll probably wait for DVD on this or Blu-ray. Whatever.
Never even seen the first Blade Runner all the way through. Seen parts of it. Didn't really catch my attention.
It's a classic movie, and it's based off Philip K. Dick, who did a lot of really good sci-fi stuff like Minority Report and God, he did tons of stuff. All right, next one after that is Insidious Chapter 4.
I've never seen any of the Insidious movies.
Yeah, I've never seen any either.
I saw the first one and that was it.
Okay. And I'm a huge horror fan, and this is just one of those franchises that I just never got into.
Okay.
Never wanted to.
So the weekend after that would be Saw Legacy.
So me and Tony are both
making another one.
Okay. We're both huge Saw fans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you make it all the way through the Saw 7?
Yeah.
Was that the
and
one
I thought they'd wrapped it up nicely. I thought they were done. I was like,
well,
okay.
One where there's at the beginning of the movie, if there's a girl that's tied up and there's two guys on each end of her? And there's a saw blade.
Yeah.
Is that the same movie, or was that the one before that?
No, that was the seventh one. That's like the opening. Yeah, they're on display.
That one.
Oh yeah, that was.
I turned it off. One, because it wasn't good, as far as I got into it, and two, they just went too far in that one. It was torture.
that movie
was torture porn, is what I called it. It was torture porn. And I make it all the way through Hostel. And if I think that movie is worse than Hostel, that's where I'm like, okay, yep, we're done. But I do want to go back. I want to try to make. I'll fast forward through the parts I just don't like, just so I can see how they wrapped up. Because if you're telling me the story wrapped up nicely, then I would definitely want to see how it wraps up. But
yeah,
I could not get
through.
It wasn't getting any better. The story wasn't going anywhere. The torture scene where they're ripping the skin off of this one dude, it was just, I was like, no, this is ridiculous. This is too far.
Yeah.
It didn't have a good story to go with it. If I understand what the mechanism is for why they're going through the torture scene, I'm like, okay, I can see why they're doing it. But there was no point to it. It was gratuitous beyond belief.
Yeah, it's like, I remember, the acting, and I mean, it was the weakest one, I think.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the way,
it wasn't good at all, to be honest with you,
the way
as far as I got into it.
Well, like the way they ended it.
Okay.
Like the ending, I was like, okay, I'm like, all right. It kind of went, I'm like, okay, I got it. Okay, good. And it was done. I thought they put a bow on it. Okay, cool.
Okay.
I mean, it took you seven freaking movies to do it. You probably didn't need to do that. But they wrapped it up nicely. I was
so
like,
then,
oh, okay. And then when
do we want to say that Saw Legacy, is this a reboot?
I don't know, or somebody carrying on his, I guess, legacy is what how it sounds. So
I have no idea. No, I won't see it in the theater. I'll give it a shot, I guess, when it comes out on DVD, something like that. But I don't.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they're doing, but yeah.
You know, no hurry to see it, kind of thing.
I don't think I've seen any of them since Saw 2 or 3, so I probably won't see it at all.
Saw 1 and 2 are awesome. Those are really good movies. I like the first two a lot.
I only saw them because my father-in-law wanted to take us to see 3. So we saw 1 and 2 and went to 3 with them. All right, so then that same weekend in October, God Particle. It's the new Cloverfield movie.
Does it tie in to the other two?
Apparently it does somehow.
It does or does not?
It does, from what I've heard.
It does?
But I never saw the one that came out last year, so...
Oh, you guys see that movie so good. Cloverfield Lane is so good.
I saw Cloverfield Lane. I never saw Cloverfield. So
Cloverfield's okay. Cloverfield Lane's really good. I don't care about this one. You know, I as far as 10 Cloverfield Lane goes, I didn't care to see it in the theater, and the only reason I wanted to watch it was because John Goodman was in it. And I'm a big John Goodman fan. I think he's awesome.
It's one where if I get around to it, I'll get around to it.
Yeah, exactly. Good way of saying it. I'd echo that.
All right, and then the weekend after that, Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely going to see it in the theater. And Jay, when me and you talked last time in regards to our theories about Thor, you know, we already went over that in the previous episode, so don't want to rehash that too much. But it's going to be badass. It's going to have Thor and Hulk fighting each other. Why would you not pay money to go see that?
Right.
So,
don't we get some kind of Planet Hulk action too?
Yeah, that's when those two fight. Thor and Hulk are going to fight. Yeah.
Like Colosseum style fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm of the belief that this will make up for how I won't say Thor the Dark World was bad, but it'll make up for how not good it was. How about that?
Well, like I told you, everything I've heard is the first two Thor movies were setting up for other stuff. This one is just a Thor movie.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
They'll get my money for sure.
Yeah, me too. And then 2 weeks after that is Justice League.
Yep.
I've been waiting a while for us to get to this. Yeah. We had to go through a bunch of shit movies to get to this. All right, here we go.
But yeah, all right,
did you guys watch the trailer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What were your initial reactions when you watched it the very first time when you watched the trailer?
The second one, the part two that came out?
The most recent trailer, yeah.
The most recent. You know, touching on all the characters, you know, obviously mine is Superman. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, it didn't give anything, you know, it wasn't like Batman v Superman where they gave it, you know, that gave away the whole fucking movie. This was just, you know, giving us a little highlight of each one. So, you know, I can't judge the full movie off it, but yeah, I mean, first reaction was I liked it.
Okay. Jay, what about you?
I haven't gone back and rewatched it a ton of times like I have with Guardians or the Star Wars previews, but I was excited to see more of like Cyborg and Aquaman and the smaller characters that we haven't seen much of yet.
Okay.
So I was excited to see that.
Okay. I am going to keep my expectations on the low side. After I've watched the trailer umpteenth times, right? And I'll give you my highs from it. Batman is awesome. There's a really funny line that he delivers to Barry Allen. I'm fully on board with his name's Ezra Miller or something like that, right?
Yep.
The guy that's playing the Flash. I'm fully on board with him being the Flash. He seems like he's going to be a great character. He's probably going to be my favorite part of the movie, to be honest with you. I have no issues with Wonder Woman. And to be honest with you, I think they're setting up Aquaman to steal the movie kind of thing. They want him to be the biggest part of the movie.
Yeah.
And I think they want him to be the biggest part of the movie because the next movie after Justice League is Aquaman. But I don't know because they give me hope and I don't want to have hope. You know what I mean? And I'm sad because as far as the Batman, when or if that movie ever comes out, the fact that we don't know if J.K. Simmons is going to be Commissioner Gordon again, that's going to depress the shit out of me because he looks awesome as Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
I want a Commissioner Gordon movie with him as Commissioner Gordon. That's what I want. After seeing the trailer, he was my favorite part of it. And he doesn't even say much. It's just how he looks and that small interaction that he has with Batman. That's awesome. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion about Aquaman the most because it seemed like the trailer focused on him the most.
There was a lot of them, and I think they're trying to capitalize on Jason Momoa. Everyone knows him from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to capitalize on that.
What do you think of the way I heard it described was they're turning him into a dude bro. He seems like a dude bro guy.
Very much so. I can see that.
Like, do you lift, bro? And, you know, he seems very laid back. And that is so far from what the character is in the comics. And I'm wondering if it's just an act, maybe. And maybe we'll see him get a little bit more serious in the movie itself. But that makes me apprehensive that they're trying to make him a joke before everyone else makes him a joke. Because that's the thing about Aquaman. Everyone calls him, you know, he's a joke. Because what do? He talks to the fishes, right? He talks to the fishes. But
Well, and
I don't know.
He's always been a character that could never sustain his own book for a long period of time. He's he comes into the Justice League and he's like this arrogant character, and they just they never get it right, it seems like. And as a result, no one ever follows him. So I don't know if they're trying to update him for today's movie audience. I mean, they got, what's his name, James Wan to direct the movie, who's done the Fast and the Furious, which come off as those bro type movies anyway. At least
I guess you're right.
Oh, so, he did Star Trek Beyond too, I think. And that was really good. That was the best one yet. And he directed that one.
I think I'm, and I like the fact they're not giving us too much story. Like Tony said, we don't, do not give me this entire movie in the trailer. Let me go in not knowing what's going on with Steppenwolf. Do Superman. Do not do that. Let me see him come back in the movie, because we all know he's coming back. You don't have a Justice League movie not have Superman in it. That'd be the dumbest thing they could possibly do.
I can,
if he's only in there for like 30 seconds in the movie, I'm going to be pissed off. I will be, I just, I don't want to see that movie if it does not have Superman kicking the shit out of somebody. Because I'm sorry, you don't, and I know they're trying to do the Death of Superman thing, but your best and brightest and most special character in DC, you don't just kill him off like a bitch. I'm sorry, you just don't do it. So I want to see him come back and just beat the crap out of somebody, you know? And save. Right. I want to see Superman saving the day, because that's what he does.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of two things happens. They either learn from Batman v Superman and they don't show Superman, but then it means he's only in it for 5 minutes at the end. Or,
which would suck.
Or they learn absolutely nothing. He's in it for the last half an hour of the movie and they spoil it in the trailer.
Which would just, I know that they're going to do it, aren't they? I just know they're going to show him in a trailer.
They've got enough time.
I'm not watching. If they release any other trailers, I'm not going to watch them, because I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
You know, I do too, and I'm not going to let them do the Spider-Man, what they're going to do to Justice League. I'm tired of these companies spoiling the movie with too much shit in the trailers. I just don't want to see it. I want this. Are you both like me that you just want this movie to be really, really good?
Yeah,
want this movie to be really good.
My hope from Batman v Superman has moved over to this movie.
Yeah. And I just
I
want DC to have a win. It just seems like they can't win with anybody. And I want them to finally go, guys, there's a reason why these characters have been around for 70 plus years. They're good characters, and there's great stories to be told, and there's a reason why people love them. Just give that to us. They just can't seem to do it.
And Warner owns the source material.
Sorry, go ahead.
Warner owns the source material. I mean, they have it all right there at their disposal.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you know, it's like they can't be like Sony and like, you know, kind of fuck some stuff up there. They've got the original material and all that. But I think, because I know originally when DC released their lineup of movies for the next, you know, several years, I know Justice League was supposed to be like a two-parter. If they're still going to go that route. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too upset if Superman isn't in Justice League for very long, because it might be a cool jumping off point for, you know, the beginning of the second movie, or however they're going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. What you're saying makes sense. Is that what you'd want to see, though? Is a Justice League movie without Superman in it?
Oh, no. He's got to be in there at some point. It's got to be a dramatic, you know, return, and, you know, he's got to be pissed.
Well, here's the thing, too. Yeah. They've also taken their schedule and they've completely thrown it out, because Batman wasn't in the original schedule, and then he was popular in Batman v Superman, so they shoehorned him in, and now that movie's fallen apart. And then Flash, they can't get anyone to stay on it other than Ezra Miller. So that's probably not going to make its release date either. So I don't know.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Aquaman ever makes it to the screen. I don't know. DC just makes me too worried. I don't know what we're going to end up with. I think you're going to have everything. I think they're going to use... The rumors are they're going to use Man of Steel 2 as a reboot point.
Why the fuck would they want to do that?
I don't know.
That just sounds... Or they're gonna, when you first mentioned that, I'm like, that is so dumb if they do that.
Or they announced a Nightwing movie, and if they actually go through with it, you're going to see the Night. I could see that as your new reboot point, and the Nightwing movie is actually the death of Batman movie, and you see Batman dying, and that's when they let Nightwing take over the mantle as Batman. That would be my only guess. I don't know what they're doing. I have no clue what they have planned. I think they don't have a clue. They don't want to make a decision until they know how much money they make or lose, to be honest with you.
That whole Nightwing,
and you can't do it that way.
The whole Nightwing thing bugs me, though, because you miss out on good stories with him as Robin.
Yeah, I know. Well, and they didn't build up to it, because, to be honest with you, Jay, the death of Batman story,
mm-hmm.
where Dick Grayson does take over,
yeah.
as Batman, is probably some of the best Batman stuff they've done in a long time.
Yeah,
did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I would agree completely. Okay. But I mean,
the problem is they can't do that because no one knows who Damian Wayne is yet.
Right.
And you can't do Damian Wayne until you do Son of the Batman, which would actually be a really good movie. If people understood who Talia al Ghul was, and they actually go back, and you'd have to reintroduce Ra's al Ghul,
yeah,
and do that whole story before you even think about doing Death of Batman.
Let's see, and they've missed so many opportunities by having old Batman already.
Yeah. Unless they say he's established, and they don't care about what people know or don't know, and they just kind of write their own story, which, you know, more power to them if they do that, but I don't know if anyone's going to... People are not going to have a clue what's going on.
Right.
And not to go on a tangent about Batman, but, I mean, do we really believe all these rumors about... I get why Affleck stepped away from being the director, because that is a huge writing, directing, producing, all that shit, especially a character like this. I think I like him maybe just like him stepping away from, you know, okay, like, I don't want to direct. Let me focus on the story and all this other shit. But then you told me, you guys mentioned that the story, I guess, he and Geoff Johns were working on,
mm-hmm.
that got... They just like threw that away essentially, or they're only going to take
bits and pieces. Oh, that's gone. Yeah, that's completely gone now.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I get it's, but I mean, Affleck just started being Batman. I know he's been fond of that character. I've heard the stories about him, or you know, Kevin Smith telling stories how he's a big Batman fan. I don't get why he would like he doesn't want to be in it anymore. If that's a true rumor, or if he's really that turned off by everything going on.
He probably just doesn't want to make shitty movies. That's the thing. Which, you know, again, they're saving graces to Batman vs. Superman because he's the best part of it. And I'm apprehensive and I'm worried about Justice League that if he already wants out of his, you know, his deal, then how bad is Justice League already then? You know, if he wants to detach himself from it. So I don't know, man.
It all goes back to that sad Ben Affleck video from the press junkets.
No, I think...
No, I know.
I wouldn't give too much credence. I don't give too much credence to any of that stuff because he's going through marital issues as far as him and his wife, at least from all that tabloid bullshit, which no one cares about, but that could have a huge impact on... I mean, imagine if you and your wife are going through marital issues. You're not going to be doing a very good... You're not going to be in the mood to be doing a very good job at your job.
Well,
and then the whole thing of him checking in rehab or whatever, he's an alcoholic. He's not an alcoholic. I think they just need to spin a story or something like that. But
well, and the thing is, too, I mean, it's all public. So,
yeah,
if one of us had a problem like that with our wife, it wouldn't be where everyone knows and your kids hear about it at school. And just a huge
mess. And so that could impact his desire to want to be that involved with it. Maybe a lot of this has to do with that. He just like, hey, I've got marital issues at home. I can't be committed to this. My head's not right, but I need a job. I got to pay my bills and I got, you know, you have me under a contract. So I'm going to perform and, you know, hold up my end of the contract. That might be, have a big reason to be why he stepped away too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
always more of the story that we don't know. And one of these days, hopefully we'll get one of those, you know, Death of Superman Lives documentaries that tells us the full story. That'd be kind of cool to see.
Right.
All right. Last movie we'll mention is Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Comes out December 15th.
Well, what else do we need to say about it? Of course, we're all going to see
it. Fuck that movie.
Shut up, Toner.
Fuck that Jedi shit.
Now, I will make this prediction because I listened to when you put out that three-part episode, when we recorded back in December.
Hold on. Toner said that Rogue One was going to make $1 billion, right? Is that what you said, Toner?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I fucked up.
It's made $1 billion. Jay said it didn't, but it has made $1 billion, hasn't it?
No, I thought that movie can make $1 billion domestically.
It made $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah, I fucked that up. Yeah, but I think this one, I think The Last Jedi, that since Star Wars Episode 7 made over 930 something million.
Domestically or worldwide?
Domestically. Okay. Yeah, so you know you're damn near pushing $1 billion. Now I'm going to say, my prediction is when Paul Walker died during the middle of Furious 7, that movie, because they knew it was his last role or one of his last roles or his last role in this franchise and how they were doing it, it made the most it ever did here in the States. And that was one of the very few movies to make $1 billion just overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Star Wars, obviously a lot more popular, way more name recognition than, you know, than Fast and Furious franchise. But you got Carrie Fisher. This is her. She finished her scenes for this episode 8. And I think you got Luke Skywalker coming back. You got her, her final role, her final scenes being shot. So the popularity is already going to be upped another notch. So I'm going to predict $1 billion domestically, not to mention what it makes overseas.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Because right. I got box office mojo pulled it right now. You way over on your domestic total. It only made $531 million.
It's still below the Dark Knight.
I love how I have to say that only $531 million. It grossed over $1 billion worldwide. So.
Yeah, but dude, I could have sworn with Darth Vader coming back and the way the story was, I was like, dude, and I thought capitalizing off of them.
Who didn't go see it? That's my question. Of all those people who went to go see, episode 7, well, then who the hell didn't go see Rogue One?
Well, I mean, Parker said he didn't go, and he's a Star Wars fan. I think what I happened with this, though, you didn't see those characters you didn't see Han Solo and Chewbacca show up in the preview. I mean, you get little clips of Vader, and I mean, they didn't even publicize that Tarkin was going to be in it.
Yeah.
So,
which Tarkin's not a huge character to be honest with you.
I mean,
in the movies, but he was big in Clone Wars. I know that after watching that.
Yeah.
But I know he's got his own book and whatnot. But knowing that Tarkin was in Rogue One wasn't going to pull me to the theater. You know, if that was my one thing to pull me to the theater, that would not do it.
Right. I mean. Well, and at the time, nobody knew what Vader did in the movie either. I mean, all they showed was him just standing there, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, of course, gonna see it.
Yeah, probably a couple times.
You'd love to just be able to see it a couple times. It's hard to get to the theater more than once for anything anymore, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm making that bold prediction. I don't know if it's really that bold. If Episode 7 can make 930 something million, we got Carrie Fisher in her final role as Leia, unless they're going to try to CGI zombie her or whatever for Episode 9. I think Episode 8 is going to break some shit.
I'm gonna Bob Barker you. I'm gonna say it's going to make $1.1 billion.
1 billion, $1.
$1 billion, $1. There you go. Yep, that's my going Bob Barker your shit.
Well, here's the thing with the Leia stuff, too. I don't know if they're going to end her story with this and go back and adjust the ending, or if they're going something happens off screen between 8 and 9, or if they Tarkin her and make her start out in 9 and have her die in that. And apparently they had a big Lucasfilm powwow to kind of work out that detail.
Really? No. I'd rather they not do the Tarkin thing. Just let her character give her a good ending story or something, or a conversation or a funeral scene or something like that. I think a giant military funeral, since she was a general, right?
Yeah.
I think something like that would be fitting.
Yeah.
I would have thought if during Episode 8, if she had died, like maybe she still had another like scene or two to do. I think they probably could have done it, that regard to, CGI her in that way. But she finished all her scenes for 8. And I know they wanted, I guess she was supposed to have, a role in Episode 9 as well.
Yeah.
But.
And actually, to circle back to the very beginning of this episode, when I was talking about Marcus, actually, he made a great point in regards to all this that we're talking about for Star Wars. He's like, look, people, you're doing movies with people in their 60s and 70s. You better have a contingency plan in place, because you never know at that age, you know.
Yeah.
You got to have something in place. And it seems like they have nothing. It doesn't seem like they had anything planned for what ifs, because Harrison Ford crashing planes in the middle of golf courses or something like that. And
isn't it the second time he's done that? What the fuck
is with him
flying in golf courses?
No, the first time wasn't a golf course, but yeah, he's crashed his plane before.
Okay. So he's not the best pilot is what we're trying to get at.
Let's just say...
My point being is Mark Hamill's not young. Carrie Fisher was never in the best health. She actually looked great for where she was at one point, because, man, she was looking rough before that movie came out. So I think they need to have contingency plans written into the somewhere that if something happens to Hamill now, you know,
like,
you better be ready.
All these guys
to be able to handle
sure.
it. Yeah, well, not
like
that.
Story-wise, you're right.
Story-wise, what I'm concerned about. Saying if your story for episode 9 is a Luke Skywalker-driven story where, you know, episode 8 is just kind of reintroducing him a little bit, and then episode 9 is supposed to be the end of the Luke Skywalker saga, mm-hmm. either one, they need to rush production and get it done and get it out of the way. Or you better have something else in place where if at the end of episode 8 he's still alive and he's still essential to your next story, you better have a contingency plan to take care of it in case he's not around to finish it.
Or a bubble wrap suit.
Not even that. It's just, I would say, I would think shoot back to back. Get that next movie done as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just my opinion on it.
Hey, Mark, Harrison wants to take you on a plane ride.
No. You will crash somewhere.
No shit.
Will we be going over a golf course?
So, there you have it. Did we hit on all of our agendas? Oh, I know. Last thing on your agenda, you emailed me. Well, the Nightwing thing, we didn't talk. We hit on it a little bit. Who do you guys want to cast as Nightwing?
I'd like that rumor you mentioned of Steven Yeun from Walking Dead.
It's cool because it's different.
Yeah,
but I understand why he's not Dick Grayson is the thing. He doesn't fit the mold of what Dick. And I'm not saying you know he has to be white, but I'm just saying I just don't see Steven Yeun as, you know, the lead of a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was a great side character in a great TV show. He hasn't done anything that proves to me like, you know, hey, this is your next guy that should. If the theory is right that they're going to do Death of Batman, do you see Steven Yeun as your next Batman?
No, that'd be tough to
see. I don't either.
He's not physically imposing enough to be Batman.
That's it. That too. So, I don't know. As far as casting him, I don't want Channing Tatum. I know that.
Yeah.
I thought, for some reason, Andrew Garfield popped in my head. I don't know why. I know he was Spider-Man, but
yeah.
I can kind of see that. A little bit.
I mean...
Yeah. And this guy is always my go-to because he's one of my favorite actors. And it's not because he was in a previous iteration, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt fits that role really well.
Yeah.
And I mean that, Jay, and I know I don't think, Jay, that you'd agree with me very much. He fits it because of his comedic chops.
Yeah.
He has that, because Dick Grayson's a lighthearted, more comedic character, but he's also can take on the role. Like, he can do both, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The character and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as an actor. You can do both as the dramatic guy and as the comedian guy.
I
think that's why he's my pick for it. Not just because he was in Nolan's version.
Right.
Had he not been in Nolan's version, or if you even wanted to continue with Nolan's version, because that kind of leads into it, I just think he's the perfect casting, to be honest with you.
Truthfully, I have no problem with him, and if they brought him in for it, I'd probably be really happy about that.
Okay. Who do you have?
I don't really
know. The way
they
ended The Dark Knight Rises, the way they ended all, the way Nolan ended all of his movies, they were always great, but and that was a great way to close it out. But God, it was such a great jumping off point to do a, you know, him.
Oh, I agree.
You know, perfectly. Fuck! How do you not do that?
I know. That's what pissed me off about. I was like, I want to see that. I know Nolan's done with it. He does. If the story's done, he doesn't want to ever come back to it. But man, I'm with you. I want to see that character.
Yeah.
Become either Batman or, you know, Nightwing or something like that.
Because they put a bow on it. I mean, because you got done, Bruce Wayne's done. They put a bow on that. He's all good.
Yeah.
But Joseph Gordon-Levitt and still, you know, Commissioner Gordon didn't have to be like, you know, huge, but I mean, you can still see Gary Oldman, you know, in there from time to time. I don't know. It could have been great.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could make 30 movies and be like, it's not enough.
Yeah. But,
right. Last thing on the list.
So many movies that I'm not going to see in theaters.
Yeah. All right. How far did you guys get in Iron Fist?
I finished it. Through episode 4, I want to say. I think I'm through episode 4. Okay. So don't spoil anything for me. I'll tell you this much. With as far as I'm into it, here's my two takeaways. One, the Colleen Wing character is badass.
Yes.
She's awesome. Yep. She's an awesome martial artist. And two, I don't get all the hate. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, actually. I'm enjoying it quite a lot.
It was a slow build, but it was a really good series.
I'm enjoying it all the way through.
Well, I think people are assuming Iron Fist, it's going to be Kung Fu the whole time. But it's not. It's more, I mean, it gives you a lot of the personal aspect of it.
I'll tell you this, there's a shit ton more action in this than there was in Luke Cage.
I think
that's true.
I think going forward, though, the safest thing for them to do would be Heroes for Hire with Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Colleen Wing and Misty Knight. Mm-hmm. Because that's pretty much what those characters all go to at some point in the comic. Because, I mean, you have Iron Man and or Power Man and Iron Fist who are like a duo together, and then you have Colleen Wing and Misty Knight who are a duo together in the comic book, and you've got them all established, and they're all kind of at the same place.
Yeah, no, I would be cool with that, but I don't get the hate so far. So, I got a lot more to get through to finish it up, but I just don't
get it.
Maybe that's what's so great is that I went in with such really low expectations because everyone was hating on it. That I'm like, okay, this is going to be shit. And I'm like, no, this is actually pretty decent. You know?
Really? I think it's up there with Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
If anything,
that's just because I hold Daredevil in very high regard. Very, very high regard. But.
Well, I said over email, I still think Matt Murdock beats the shit out of Danny Rand.
Oh,
like,
fuck,
not
yeah.
even close.
So that's my biggest criticism of the show is the fact that the guy playing Iron Fist is the worst martial artist on the show.
Yeah.
From what I've seen so far, the guy is supposed to be the most badass of the martial artists. He's actually the worst. And I don't know. I thought I heard something about the fact that he didn't get enough time to train to really refine his skills. And maybe he's just not athletic at all in real life, but he's almost looking a little, Steven Seagalish at points with his moves. I'm like, he just barely touches someone and the guy just completely goes down, you know? So I'm like, oh, yeah. This is bad. But, you know.
It's not even a gripe. I think it's good. I think it's actually good, you know, I guess acting and storytelling in a way. Maybe it was UJ or somebody over at email who said people complaining about him being, like, naive. But you got to think the age he was, like, when his plane went down. And, you know, where he had been for like the last 15 years, you know, coming back to, you know, the quote unquote, the real world, trying to readjust. I thought it made sense. At times it kind of seems, you know, like naive or almost, I don't want to say whiny at times, but that might get on my nerves. But then I think about the character. I'm like, well, shit, look where he's been for the last, you know, 15 plus years and what happened to him. And just kind of being awkward at, you know, socially at some points. But yeah, I don't get the, you know, the hate on it really.
It was worth watching.
You guys still there?
Wash your hands.
Jen's there now.
Oh, I was like, I got really silent for a second. Jen. I was like,
I'm in trouble. My daughter was in her room eating chapstick, apparently.
Huh. There's worse things she could eat.
Yeah, I guess so, but still.
Why are you in trouble for that?
She was at dance. Jen was at her dance class, and so I'm the only one at home. I'm ignoring my children to be doing this thing.
Oh.
She should know that.
No, she was in her room. She just got out. She got out of bed, so, yeah.
Oh.
Well, at least thank Jen for not completely interrupting us this time.
Yeah, well, she waits to the very end this time, so that's cool.
Yeah, she's getting better.
All right.
So, Yeah, no, we hit on all the points you wanted to hit on, so
yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Awesome.
We'll do more Iron Fist stuff when I'm actually done with it, so I can actually, we can do spoilers and stuff like that and do a full review.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Cool.
Did you finish it, Jay? Are you all done?
I finished it today.
Okay, all right, yeah. So. Okay. I think I did yesterday or two. Within the last couple of days, I finished it. So. Yeah. I know we're going to wrap this up, but when is Defenders coming out? Is it this year? Or when it's... Is that later? Or
I don't actually, I haven't heard it. No, let me see.
I thought, I didn't know if it was like fall of this year or beginning of next or not.
I'm pretty sure they're in the process of filming it. Let's see. TV series. It says 2017 on IMDb.
Okay, because I thought Defenders comes out before Daredevil season 3.
Yeah, it's supposed to. It's going to be the next one that comes out. It looks like right now it's saying September, but it doesn't give a date. It just says September.
September, okay. September 2017?
Yeah. Series premiere September 2017, 8 episodes.
Nice. That'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it.
They set it up. That's all I'll say.
Oh, so Iron Fist sets it up. Cool. I'm looking forward to that then.
So there's our thoughts on all the movies coming out for the rest of the year. You can find more from us on nerdcast.com, nyrdcast.com. Find us on social media at Nerdcast on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook too. We also have a YouTube channel. You search Nerdcast and you'll find our podcast there. We are part of the IJOV, Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network. Always trips me up. IJOV.net. This week's music is from the band called Wander. This is their song, Thanks a Lot.